Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
It's time!
Hello, everybody. Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another episode, episode 19 of Destruction 101. And it's a special episode. It's not normally I would just go right into it and start, you know, bitching and whining about whatever or expressing my concerns about the hot topics in either pro wrestling and sports. But this one's a little closer to the heart. This one is I'm excited about it because, you know, one of my mentors, my trainers, my boss, if you want to say it. Yeah, he's the guy who pays me to do what I do. And Pat Buck decided, you know what, it's time. The pity party's over. And it's time to let the people know exactly what's happening in the world of WrestlePro when it comes to David Adams and his release or his departure. First plugs, obviously, May 20th, WrestlePro, before we get into all the Pat Buck stuff. WrestlePro, May 20th, Raw Way Rec Center, we're back. You got Moose, you got Kevin, you got Dan Moff versus Mario, you got Joey Janela and Cody Rhodes, Colt Cabana's back. You name it, we got them. It's always how we do at WrestlePro. It's always a jam-packed show. I'm very, very excited about it. I'm very excited to be your ring announcer for that show. The show is obviously brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to check out their episodes every Tuesday night, I believe they release. So as you're listening to this, go download it from last night. Obviously, Conversation with the Big Guy. That's Ryback and Pat Buck's podcast. Drops every Monday. Gives you a little bit of insight about the trials and tribulations of both Pat Buck and Ryback as it comes to, you know, as it, I guess, involves pro wrestling, outside of pro wrestling, nutrition tips, motivational quotes. Believe me, I'm a listener. I'm a fan. Every Monday, it's my cardio, and it's pretty much the rest of my day because the episodes get longer and longer, and that's awesome because it takes up more of my afternoon, which is great. So, yeah, obviously, before, you know, as like a preface of what we're about to get into here, Pat Buck finally reached out to me and said, you know, I want to put this out there. And I said, of course, you know, Pat's the reason why I'm here right now in the world of professional wrestling in any capacity whatsoever. Coming up in June will be 5 years of being involved with Pat, obviously with the old company of PWS, and then transforming into WrestlePro. There was a little bit of a lag period where I was indeed, as you'll hear, a little bit of a nutbag. So, you know, the thing is, Pat has given me everything that I've earned and wanted, and it starts with my first match in September of 2012, and then he, I guess, quote, strapped the rocket to me, you know, knowing that I was marketing myself as hard as anybody else can. He knew that I was going to be somewhat of a local draw. I'm not going to say I'm a talented wrestler. I'm saying I'm a fucking draw. Like, I had people that were going to be supporting me for the first couple months of my little journey here, so I was able to bring a lot of people and make a lot of money. So both parties involved. So he, you know, he gave me that start. Just recently, September 2016. Oh, and let's not forget, he gave me my match against Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He'll laugh. Everybody will laugh at that. But I'm serious. Like, he's done so much for me, and I've never been able to express my gratitude in the way I want and to give back. I'm doing that now, I think. He's made me a part of the WrestlePro office in which I can kind of return the favor for everything he's done. I'm trying to expand his business, and in turn, of course, I'm going to cash in on that too. So, I mean, that's just the way the business works, and he's not going to sit there and be like, thanks for all the money, ha ha ha, you know, and just like run away into an office. His name's not somebody else, you know what I mean? He's not going to do that. He's always kicking back. I mean, he's kicked back since day one, man. So he's always given me so much, and again, this past September, Pat gave me the opportunity to basically choose between commentary and wrestling. The choice was kind of made for me, and at the same time, I embraced the crap out of it. So Pat is the reason why you see me going nuts with all the commentary bookings and all the, you know, the just everything I'm doing, Battle Club, like you name it, everything I've done is because Pat has given me the way and shown me the way to get it done. He's helped me mature as a human being. Like I said, my first couple years of wrestling, I was way ahead of myself. I was thinking I was the shit when I was the shits, you know? So he helped me out a lot, and I can't thank him enough. And it just goes to show you what kind of guy he is. I mean, as many people think, he's just this quiet, doesn't talk to anybody, just very standoffish. It's not that. He has a closed circle, a very close circle to his heart to let people in. So just recently, I've been talking to Pat more in the past like 2-3 months than I have in 5 years. So obviously there's a good relationship, a good working relationship there. But anyway, it's not about me this time. It's about what's right. And he really went to bat for me. And again, and I've said this in past episodes, there's probably nothing more rewarding that somebody could say to you than that they're proud of you. You know what I mean? So he says that in this. He says a whole lot in this. It's a little longer than I expected, and he says that halfway through. But what do you expect out of a guy who gives you 2.5 hours plus of content every Monday with Ryback? So, again, was not expecting anything less. It was perfect. He explains everything, the entire David Adams situation. And after he's done, I'll come back on. I'll give my 2 cents, which will probably be a lot less nice than Pat is, because Pat is a very soft-spoken guy. He doesn't scream, curse, and say, F this, F that, you know, this guy's an asshole, you know, that's my job. I'll do that after. But, yeah, so without further ado, here he is. Thank you very much for this. Here's Pat Buck.
Hey, everybody, this is Pat Buck from Conversation with the Big Guy podcast, but I'm on a different podcast right now on Dave Destruction's Podcast 101, just because, well, I wanted to kind of talk about something because it relates to Dave. Dave's a friend of mine. He's actually, dare I say, a student or, quote, I don't know if you want to say employee of mine. Technically, I don't really have any employees as we're all independent contractors here, and even that's a weird conversation of another time. But normally, when things happen, you know, being Russell Pro's owner, its promoter, whatever it is, the fucking guy that pays the bills, there's some sort of, like, responsibility with, you know, a lot of times you got to make unfortunate calls and tough situations. And normally I like to keep a lot of this private. You don't really see me kind of put a whole lot of stuff out there occasionally, but especially when it's, you know, not needed or out of matter of respect, I kind of like to keep things internal, or at least for the last couple years. You know, yeah, I've called out people on their shit before, but this one's a little bit different because I think it relates more to me. I actually didn't know if I wanted to do this before I sat down and put the microphone in front of me, but I kind of wanted to, just because I don't like, one, I don't like being fraudulent. Secondly, I think it affects more than just me, and it affects the WrestlePro brand, and it also affects Dave, and I just don't like to see this kind of phony, fake, false light that was shed on the situation. I'm sure Dave's going to delve into this, so you have a little bit of a precursor as to what the fuck I'm talking about. Now, normally when things happen, look, here's the thing. When you're a promoter, if you're successful at anything, and this isn't being braggadocious, this is just being from a place of logic, you're going to have people that hate you. There's a lot of people that are on the independents that don't care for me. There's more so that I believe do respect me and do like me and do a lot of great business with me. And the scales are far tipped in that direction because I really do try to do everything in my power to keep everything good, which is why I've been able to run a good business and have what I have and the reputation that I have. But there is a sect of people that really are absolutely obsessed with finding ways to put down, if there's ever something remotely negative or something with WrestlePro that comes out, because of past business dealings or because of whatever insanity rests in their own brain, or and I'm not talking about this thing is going to relate to David Adams and I'll get long-winded, but there's people outside of that, I'm not talking about David in this particular situation, that are looking for any reason to see, I guess, WrestlePro kind of come down. I'm sure that this drama exists in every single wrestling promotion, but like I said, I don't like normally to address stuff like this, but I'm doing it here for Dave because I think it's unfair because the guy's worked hard. Back to what the fuck I'm talking about. So I've dealt with certain people before, whether, and a lot of times people who are in wrestling, believe it or not, people are fucking crazy. Do I admit myself? Am I a little bit crazy? I think we all are, you know, but there's a different sort of crazy. There's been people that I've had business relationships with where I've been like, wow, you're pretty fucking crazy. This isn't going to work anymore. Or they've left on their own accord, or there's been a mix of both, or there's been people who I've trained who I believe. Now, if you train under me and you're a student at one of the Creative Pro Dojos, I ask a lot of you. I do. I want to. I think there's a spot for everybody. But if you're not hardworking and you're not involved and I don't see your passion, chances are you're not going to be on events. Or if you have nothing to really contribute, or, you know, that's, to me, it's an honor to be in the ring at the shows I promote. I think it's an honor to be in the ring anywhere. I think you need to deserve that right. And, you know, if someone isn't up to the caliber, if they don't bring anything to the table, I'll say that and they won't be on cards. Or if they're not up to the skill set or the ability, I won't put them in positions unless it's like, you know, a super enhancement type role. But even that has a prestige in my eyes because I was that for so fucking long. I don't know if that makes any sense, but a lot of people, I don't leave, not a lot, dare I say, if you check, and if you don't believe me, talk to my fucking guys. Talk to the current guys. Talk to the guys that left. Talk to the people that have whatever, and then draw your own conclusion and see what the majority says. That's all I can fucking tell you. So back to what I was talking about. Anyway, David Adams is no longer with WrestlePro. I just thought, hey, you know, not necessarily that big of a deal, because here's the thing. Over the course of years, David will fully admit to you that I gave him his first kind of big break back with the other company I used to run. I believed in him, and I actually preferred him to a Larry Legend. I didn't think he was better than Larry Legend. I think they're of equal skill set. However, you can hear Larry a little bit clearer. But I do think David brings a lot to the table, and I recommend hiring him for any promotion. However, what happened here is that over the course of time, I found myself in a weird predicament. And David never caused drama. He was always there on time. He was always professional. And I thought he did a great job. I tried to put him on commentary a couple times, and he needed a little bit of coaching. Now, don't mind, I'm not good at commentary. However, I'm not bad at commentary. At least I know, I don't really know what to say sometimes, but I know what to say, and I put a lot of faith in him in different roles over time. And I don't think the commentary thing worked out, and it was put heavily on me by outside people. So basically, I went through years and years and years of defending David Adams, mostly on his ring announcing. Here's the thing. He looks the part. He works the part. He's very good with fans. It's hard to hear him sometimes. And a lot of people would be in my ear constantly going, we can't understand what he's saying. And I'll get to that point too. But still, I defended David. I have no issue with that. He's been a team player. He's been there since day one. No problem whatsoever. You know what? Hey, David, can you stop eating the microphone? Just hold it a little bit clearer, because we have issues with that on shows, but it comes down to a lot of the guys. I'm going to put myself over again. Whenever I talk on the microphone, you can hear me crystal clear. A couple other guys, you can hear crystal clear. David, it's always muffled. He puts so much into it, and it became a problem over time, but nonetheless, I, in my head, chalked it up to we don't have the greatest audio equipment in Rahway. We don't have the greatest audio equipment at other places. But then I started seeing things like Starland Ballroom and then at WrestleCon, which I'll address in a minute. So there was things like that where I constantly had to be like, okay, guys, I know it, but you know what? He's the best here. Who else can fucking do this? You know, go worry about your fucking match. David's a good announcer. Anyway, whatchamacallit. So here's where the issue came in. Was David just fired? Like, get the fuck out of here? No. And I think the people that I'm making this for are going to be entertained by this, because you're probably listening just for that. And it's not a very big group of people, but it is a group of people that I know will either be there at WrestlePro, or maybe they're outside protesting, whatever it is. But I think you need to hear my version. I'm sure there's going to be fucking rebuttals. And again, this is very, very long-winded. Let me go back to the matter at hand, because I made a little notes, because here's the thing. I'm doing this because I actually care about it too, for Dave's sake, but more so because I feel a little bit offended by David and how he acted. or since then, because I think it's fraudulent and fake, and I'll explain why. I don't really like it when people bring their significant others to the show. To the show is fine, but beforehand, when they're set up or in the locker room, I'm kind of against that, unless you've gotten to a certain order. You know, if you're, I'm not going to say anything if fucking, you know, I don't know, if Jeff Hardy comes walking out with his girlfriend, like, you know what I mean? That's one thing, but if you're one of the regular, even myself, I felt very, very, very awkward, you know, if I go to a show with my wife. In fact, last show I did was at Dreamer's House of Hardcore. She was sitting out in the crowd. Could I have brought her back? Yeah, of course I could. And then Tommy's like, what are you doing? You want to bring your wife back here? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. We'll just sit in the corner. He's like, yeah, totally fine. But like, that's not, I feel awkward with that. Now, is it different because everybody knows David is with Debbie Kane? Is she a worker? Yes. But here's the thing too. Debbie, just to paint the picture, the reason why David's gone from WrestlePro is because Kevin books the show. I kind of run, I help book a little bit. I run all the business stuff. I run the show. I'll tweak a lot of things. But we asked David, hey, can you, we would like it if you stop bringing Debbie to the shows. And that's going to sound really bad, but let me explain why. So here's what happened. So I know Debbie. Let's not act like Debbie's a stranger. I knew Debbie from three different schools. I don't know if she was training under me at NYWC. I'm not sure, which was 2011. It's a fucking long time ago. Maybe even 2010. I don't remember when I got back from Florida. She trained with us, with me and Hawkins, at Creator Pro in New York. Then she came to New Jersey school, which I never really understood. I guess it worked out better for their schedule or whatever. I don't know. I tried my best with Debbie. There was a time where I felt like she was making progress in the ring. But then there was, I don't know, there was injuries. She stopped going to practice. I also know there was always kind of a cloud of, I don't want to say drama, but a cloud of funk always around her. And I never understood that. And if I tried my damnedest to make her a good professional wrestler, and I failed. I couldn't get through. Sometimes I think the effort wasn't there. Sometimes I think the effort was there. Sometimes I think there was just something going on. She worked Creator Pro events a couple times. Were the matches very good? No. Were they the worst thing in the world? No. But a lot of times too, there was just an error of like, you know, I didn't see the what I go back to what I said before, I didn't see the passion. I didn't see any of that. I just saw someone that was there. And then little things would get back to me too. Like one of the girls at Creator Pro New York came to me one time and said, like, look, like, you know, is there any chance I can get on the New Jersey shows? And I'm like, well, it's more likely you'll get on the New York ones, but maybe for the Jersey ones. And she's like, yeah, I kind of heard, like, you know, I heard through the grapevine that you're not really a fan of women's wrestling. And again, that I hear that mirrored by students that are frustrated because I have the same expectations for a female that as I do as a male. I'm not gonna cater to, and I think that it's almost a reverse entitlement kind of thing where they wonder why there's not at least there's always a women's match for the most part, but some shows lately maybe not so much, because I hold them to the same accord as a male talent if they're ready or not. And a lot of times I don't see that. Now, I'm super proud of a lot of the girls at Creator Pro New York because two of them are coming along, and but I don't want to get my heart broken because I'm like, is this the first time I'm going to have really extremely competent, successful professional wrestling women? Because a lot of them have quit, or they think they're above the grade, or, you know, and what also gets very damaging is that a lot of the girls get entitled very early on. And they are also very close to a lot of wrestling fans because a lot of the wrestling fans kind of walk that weird line of being a fan / trying to be involved with their real life, and that they paint this picture up that I don't like female wrestling. I started a female wrestling company in 2012. Like, let's get beyond that. Like, I enjoy this. I want one on every show, and I tell them that. But there's been, like, difficulty with a lot of things. That's besides the point. But basically, what I'm going to say is that Debbie... she basically stopped going to either school and didn't, you know, injury this, injury that, but she's at every show. And like, she's not exactly the most, and this is the pot calling the kettle black. She's not the friendliest human being. she would shake my hand for some shows and some shows not, which I really don't care about that. But then I started to notice that the locker room kind of had the same thing. And a lot of guys would voice frustration, like, you know, like, hey, like, she does help out sometimes, but like, she's just not very, very nice to any of us. So, you know what? But I didn't really give a shit. Hey, whatever. You're here. David's girl. Whatever. You know, that's what it is. Just let her sit there. But also constantly, David would pitch to get her on shows. He's pitched to me at least 3 to 4 times. And if he says anything other than that, it's full of shit. Because he has. And the hard part is, not to be insulting here, I don't know what role I could have even put her in. I'd make her the ring girl occasionally. But, you know, like, I don't think in a Rahway crowd or even like a Starland Ballroom crowd, like, I don't think that the fans may eat her alive, you know? Also, like, she doesn't wear the most flattering outfit. And this is the thing, like, you need to, Nia Jax is not going to walk around wearing trunks or something that Sasha Banks would wear. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I couldn't really give this genuine advice, and I try to, like, hey, mate, like, and I say it all the time about aesthetic, like, wear something that compliments you. You know what I mean? Like, there's outfits that I wouldn't wear because I would look absolutely ridiculous. So, and here's the thing that got kind of, like, upsetting is that she would work a lot of outside shows, and I just didn't see the progress. I didn't see where I could put her in some sort of role. I can't just stick someone there to be a, everyone who's on a Wrestle Pro show deserves it or has plays a certain part. And I don't think he saw that. And, like, I couldn't, you know, could I have found a creative spot? I don't know. I really didn't see it. And also, when there's such a disconnect from the locker room with someone like, it wasn't like anyone was going, hey, I want Debbie to be a part of something, which happens sometimes. Like, hey, can this person be involved with me? And it didn't. So, man, this is longer than I thought. But that would happen a lot. In addition, that would happen a lot with other promotions, too. Two other promoters, I don't want to have to mention their names, but this is just a fact, too, have actually said to me, you know, David's always trying to get Debbie on. He's always trying to get Debbie on. And it's a weird thing because, like, hey, if you're that passionate about something, why isn't she trying to get herself on? Why isn't she trying to make herself better? She's not trying to work on her skill set because she's not coming to any sort of training, and she definitely needs to do so. She's not working on the aesthetic part of it, which is, and I can judge on that because right now I'm fucking starving to death. I've gone less than 30 carbs in the last fucking 2 to 3 weeks. So am I okay to judge that? Yes. Wrestling is an aesthetic, cosmetic business. That's a fucking thing. And, like, some people are booked entirely on their look. Some people are booked entirely on their ability. Some people are booked on their promo. Tell me what I was supposed to fucking do here. I couldn't be dishonest about it. And what was kind of a little bit upsetting is I know that they're together, and David, I think, is madly in love with her, which is great. So be it. But he would also kind of say, like, hey, she's very good. I notice you're using her. And I'm like, you don't have the authority to say that because I was training her and I couldn't get anything out of it. There would be times, however, let's go back to this. There was a couple of times she wrestled on a show and I watched and I went, oh shit, here we go. A little bit of ability. That wasn't that bad. But then I would see not going to practice. I would see, like, you know, no consistency, and just that wasn't enough for me to use someone. That's it. That's all it is. It wasn't a vendetta. No one hated her. How do you hate someone who doesn't really say anything? It is what it is. So, anyway, I have a little bit of notes here. Sorry. Finally, Orlando comes, and we have the show in Orlando. And also, the female wrestling comment really got to me. And I approached her on that. And I said, like, was this said? And, like, it was just a weird conversation, but it wasn't. Nothing ever happened with that. But I've had times where I've tried to get through to her and it didn't happen. So I also questioned, like, do you even want to be in wrestling? You know, is this what you want to do? Or do you want to just, like, go to shows and, like, pretend to be part of the crew? And if that's taken as an insult, oh well. If it's taken as a motivating factor, go do it. But, like, that's the thing. I base people on their fucking passion. Okay, so Orlando, we go down there, you know, WrestleCon, Wrestle Pro Week. And the first matter that I was kind of like, oh, that's a little strange. The High Spots, the main promoters of WrestleCon, they needed a ring announcer for their female wrestling show happening the next day. So I figure everyone as down there just wants to work and be in front of a huge crowd and huge audience and make connections. That's why you go. You don't just go to have your day in the sun. If I had been asked to work a couple of different shows in different situations, I probably would have taken them. But I just focused on WrestleCon, and I just wasn't booked. So that's all that happened. So they asked me, and they said we need a ring announcer. And I went, oh, I know a perfect guy. Let me text him. They're like, oh, great. He can do the whole show. We'll take care of him. We'll pay him very well. Fantastic. And So texted him, no answer, no big deal. I was like, hey, I'll check back with him. And I see him in the locker room. I go, hey, did you get my text before? He goes, yeah, you know, I can't go. I have to take her to Disney tomorrow. Now, mind you, the show's at 4 p.m. So for any Disney enthusiast, you could do both. I just figure if you're down here for WrestleMania weekend announcing one of the biggest women's shows all the year, I think that's good exposure. But I personally feel like he didn't want to do it because it's a women's show. I may be just putting my own spin on that one, but that's kind of what I think. But he said no. And I said, hey, no problem. But I wish I knew earlier, because then I could have just put someone else in there. But I still have no vendetta with that. But that's just something that happened, just to paint this picture onto why I kind of, the situation fucking happened. Going further, later that day, I didn't realize, most independent shows, there's no ring person, like to get the people's gear and their stuff, the titles, whatever. And he came to me right before the show, and he's like, hey, can she be ring girl? Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Oh, but, you know, because we need someone reliable. You know she's reliable. I'm like, you have to sell me on this. Sure, she can be ring girl. We need somebody. Cool. Thank you. Does that. Show ends. All of them go to Eats next door. And I do this because I wasn't there. I was exhausted. I went home. I went to the hotel. Here comes... Kevin messaged me saying, like, hey man, like, this is just what happened. And other people in the roster vouch for this. Everyone's eating together in a big group. Debbie tells David, hey, like, whisper something to him. David's like, we gotta go, blah blah blah. And Kevin's like, the place closes in 20 minutes, you don't want to hang, you guys don't want to hang out a little while longer? No, gotta go, blah 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 blah. And they don't leave, they go to a different table to just be by themselves. And when they were called out on that, the reason was, and I believe this to be true, is that they wanted to just be on a mini date and have private time. But I think that's insulting. If I did that to the roster and I'm fucking promoter, owner of it, I think that's insulting. Like, you just insulted all the guys. You told them to go fuck themselves. Why don't you just leave together? You guys are staying together. Like, don't insult the boys like that. Like, hey, like, we got to go. We got stuff to do tomorrow. And then you sit at a different table. So you're just kind of proving right there. Like, hey, come on. And that offended Kevin greatly, who was just like, this is, you know, ridiculous. Messaged me, and I know they had their personal thing. Kevin's like, look, it's obvious that she doesn't like any of us, because that kind of does cement that. And, you know, I'd prefer if you don't take her to shows anymore. And they had their back and forth. Again, I don't see it. I'm not privy to this information. So that happened. I also wanted to gauge the temperature, because what I think and what Kevin thinks can be completely different. And yes, I give Kevin a lot of authority because he helps me out more than anyone else does in regards to the booking, in regards to WrestlePro wouldn't be around if it wasn't for him. So, but I also check with other people and I go, give me your opinion on this, on this situation, on her. And it's across the board, same thing. So that's what I base my fucking opinion on. Still, I don't care. And actually, here's the thing. We had a thing with David Adams. And Dave, I'm taking over your fucking podcast here. I'm 20 minutes in. Sorry. Dave never politicked to be a ring announcer at all. He wanted to do commentary. And we wanted to do something different for the pre-show. Because I believe, and we want to get a lot of guys on Rahway, but it becomes too long. And I figure you can't have the main ring announcer, which is David, do the pre-show and then disappear, come back out. So very organically, my suggestion was, Dave, why don't you do that? And then you announce David, and then we have the big Shabazz. So when we did that, we actually noticed that across the board, there was really good feedback for Dave. And people could hear him clearly. And again, I still got the same gripes that they couldn't hear David. And that was something that I went, what do I do? So I actually thought in my head down the road, I'm probably going to break it up 50-50. Maybe title matches David could do. Dave could do that. And also, like, there's going to be times I should have people prepared in case one guy can't make it. We should have maybe more than one ring announcers. Doesn't that make sense? And you may go, oh, that's bullshit. No, I'm being sensible here. Because there was one time David showed up and he's in a fucking sling. You know, what if someone gets sick? What if someone gets, you know, like, you... it might be worthwhile doing so. People's schedule, they have a wedding, they have this, they have that. So I start preparing for that, and I'm like, you know what? Let's start moving this direction. However, that was before WrestleCon. Before the last show, which happened at Starlands, I got a message on Facebook that I was privy to, me, Kevin, and David. And David wrote a very, 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 very long Facebook message, which I still have. And I have all of my replies, which I was very cold on, and there's reasoning why, about how it started off basically saying he's going through a personal time and personal problem, and that Debbie basically, you know, she has her social qualms, and that, you know, and again, why am I saying this information? Well, because, well, I'll get to that. Has her social qualms and that how he basically needs her to be at shows and for these personal reasons and has put over what she's done for us, which there was a time where she has helped out. She has helped out on Ring Crew. Pretty much anyone who ever worked for WrestlePro at one point has helped out on Ring Crew. I've seen people where I'm like, I've had to fight Colt Cabana sometimes. I'm like, hey man, like you've paid your dues. Like people that's the business. You help out. And if people don't, then they're kind of fucking judged. So, or how, you know, kind of a case was made in that regard, but also there was weird there was a thing there that was complete make-believe, how Kevin was so angry that she was Ring Girl and he hates her. Kevin didn't know she was Ring Girl. He had no fucking clue. So it's fabricated. And I think a lot of that fabrication comes out a lot in why she sits there in a bad mood, because she believes everyone hates her. And again, with the whole thing where Pat hates women's wrestling, it's always this, like things aren't like, and it's self-created bullshit, and it's annoying to deal with. And I think it's factual. Kevin had no clue she was Ring Crew. And also, like David put in the message something along like, Kevin, I know how you feel, not me, how you feel about women's wrestling and all this stuff. And it's like, Kevin's very close with a lot of female talent and vouches for a lot of them. It's just, again, it comes from what I mentioned earlier. Very, very a lot. However, it was basically put like, so am I fired? Or you know, are we going to keep this out? I consider this, you know, said very positive things in there, you know, how much he loved the company and how much, you know, he's been there. And he has been there since day one for WrestlePro. But going on about stuff. However, it came with the personal stuff he mentioned. I took offense to it. I took a lot of offense to it, and I feel bad he's going through this hardship. However, I've gone through the exact hardship he's going through. I don't really want to be specific, but I mean, if you could really kind of figure it out. I mean, the biggest hardship of my entire life is something that he's going through now too. The thing is, I just didn't understand how that correlates with one, professional wrestling, and two, bringing your girlfriend. Like that doesn't mix up. And I would never, the hardship that I went through when I was going through it, I never put it on anybody. I never told Danny Davis at OVW, hey, my girlfriend has to come and here's why. This is what's going on with me. Or I never went to Rip Rogers and said that. I never went to Al. I never went to, you know, fucking Dusty at FCW. I never did that stuff. And I just went like, that, are you pulling on my heartstrings to try to make this happen? Because that's just not unfair to anyone. And that's just not like, and I'm like, I live that. I've lived through the worst case scenario of what you're talking about. And on top of that, I go, you also just took two or three shots loosely at Kevin. I go, I think it's best we part. And I go, I really wish you guys the best of luck. And, you know, that's really what it is. Like, he gave us an ultimatum. I can bring her, or that's it. And I said, well, that's it. And a lot of it came from that message. I was put off by it. So I feel bad that the guy's going through stuff. Yeah, but the thing is that, and also, she has personality qualms. She has this. And I go, look, you're talking to someone that has eaten more shit than anyone in pro wrestling. I'm depressed a lot. I've been diagnosed having depression. I'm one of the shyest people you could probably ever meet. You get through it, or else you're in the wrong fucking business. You got to go through that stuff. So that kind of like just got me in like, you know, and I really felt like the intention was, hey, I need this to happen. And I don't understand how that works for coming, I don't know, 8 hours to a wrestling event. Because if something's going on that's so, and I use this as an example, and then you'll probably figure out why. My biggest regret, I think, for that was, you know, when I was going through this thing, was actually devoting so much time to wrestling. And I actually wish I was with the person who was in need. And you know, I actually said that. I was like, well, if this is like that going on, then why even bother being here at all? You know, that's my thing. So I didn't like the way it felt. I didn't think it was fair. And I sound very cold-hearted because it's like, well, shouldn't you just be like, oh, I'm sorry? But no, I'm not going to stand for something like that because I've been through it. And I think I can judge if I've been through it. And I figured it'd be like that. We weren't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything. Kevin wasn't going to say anything. But now there's stuff put out there, like I think, was it two, maybe three times, about Facebook stuff, about alluding to the situation. And it's so phony because the guy works for so many wrestling places. And you read his fucking Facebook thing. It reads like a laundry list of, like, you know, promotions. He worked here, worked there, formerly worked here. But it's like, we're once a month. If you go to his Twitter, you know, he puts over the same amount of stuff as he did for WrestlePro, as he did for House of Glory. So I didn't think there's like this person acting like I took away like this massive amount of money from his life because he stood up for what's right. Okay. That's fine. You stood up for what you believe in, but guys, that's reasoning why. You know, I don't like the fact that it was just like, oh, get out of here. Fuck you. We're done. And it's also like hinting at the fact that, like, I don't like the whole, you know, it's desperate. It's a cry for attention. I guarantee you. And if I'm wrong, I'm fucking wrong. And it's not like it's a lot of money, but I bet you I pay David better than any other promotion. I'd be surprised if they met the same rate that I paid for him over the years. I really, really would be shocked. And that's not bragging. I just think it's fact. And even that, it's not exactly like no one's making ridiculous money off indie wrestling at the moment, unless you're, you know, fucking Young Bucks or whomever. Anyway, so, you know, seeing those statuses and seeing people come in that they're going to protest at Dave, who worked for his, he worked for his spot. He was, you know, Dave hasn't done anything wrong. He's motivating with the guys. He communicates with the whole locker room. And, but dude, I fired Dave before. Dave was a different, I kicked Dave out years ago when he was a crazy man, and he'll be the first to admit to that. And he came back and realized that. And Dave shit talked to me once on a podcast, but like, you know, I think things cleared up. Like, people grow, and I don't hold this stuff against him. It's a learning process. Now he's, you know, doing very, very well and involved in multiple places and doesn't have that, you know, the thing that's going on with David. And that's, I didn't like to be painted. I'm proud of Dave. And that's the thing. I rewarded someone for their opportunity, but now this guy's going to get in the ring and have people protest against him because of someone's Facebook post where people are misinformed. And he can put out his side of the story too. But I don't think you can find, I'm not twisting anything. I'm not sliding anything. The guy worked really hard for me. I provided a platform from him. He did very good work. There was issues here. There was issues there. They were private. But if you want to keep, you know, like, fans are right, we're going to move to another promotion. How's that working out? Really? Like, is that what we do here? If someone gets released from WWE, do you stop going to WWE events? Do you stop watching Monday Night Raw? Because if you don't, you know, I'm sure there's been firings and people quitting that fans are affected by. They're still fucking watching. So I just took that as a personal slight. I figured that was a bad business move by David to constantly put out things where I stood up for this. And I, you know, that to me, I actually think that was just reasoning for to show her, like, look what I did for you. Stop being this. He seems like a fucking controlled puppy, man. And from a man's point of view, dude, stop. Fucking man up. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't have been. And the thing is, after all that, if I'd been quiet, I totally would have brought him back. I don't think I can now. You know, I wanted to make him like a Mean Gene, or maybe, hey, if this thing kind of went away, we could bring him back as a heel manager. But like, look at this stuff. Like, what are you doing here? You're trying to paint the company up poorly. You know, you do have fans and, you know, people that support you, you know, those 5 to 8 people who may never go to WrestlePro events again. There's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people that got in too deep. They find reasons like to say that we bully this or we bully that or I'll never go again. And it's like, okay, if you don't want to go, I'm just going to continue to put on the best product I possibly can. Love it or hate it. That's it. So I just wanted to shed some light on that. And, you know, let me see if I missed any, missed any things here. I don't think so. I think I actually talked too much. So half an hour devoted to this riffraff. But yeah, that's all I got. And yeah, I hope you guys continue to support WrestlePro. If you don't, hey, that's your decision. But that's the reason why Dave's an announcer now. And that's the reason why David's no longer with us. And, you know, there's more to the story, you know, make your own opinion. Don't believe my stuff. Don't believe, you know, you can try to find the truth in the middle. They say that. I don't believe that's true. But draw your own conclusion. What do you really fucking think happened? All right. Thanks, guys. I'm Pat Buck.
Thank you, Pat. And thank you for the kind words. And yeah, I mean, that's basically it, folks. I mean, you can draw your own conclusions. You can kind of look at everybody like, oh my God, I can't believe he did this because of that. But if you want my opinion, which you're about to get, David Adams and myself came up around the same time. He was a ring announcer. I was just getting started. And me and him were always close. Always. We did commentary together. We traveled together. We were close. We were good buddies. We were the production team. We were on fucking TV together. Okay. And I said that last week. Pat left off the fact that, you know, we had a guy down in Orlando trying to cover our show and trying to cover whatchamacallit, the show itself, and they wanted, you know, like, we want to write down who's fighting who and this, that, and the other. And the guy couldn't do it because they couldn't understand David Adams. He couldn't. There was just, no matter how many times, and I've said this to David Adams way before this was even remotely a speck of an issue. I said, Dave, why don't you do yourself a favor? Hold the mic near like your tie. Not fucking eat it like it's a fucking ice cream cone. Like, stop. And everybody across the board said that. And I'll never understand, if you're trying to perfect something and you're trying to be good at something, like that, like, take a critique, take advice, apply it. He didn't want to apply shit. But again, you know, the Debbie Kane stuff, I don't really have much to do with that because I don't really care. I met her a couple times. She seems like a fucking miserable person. I'm sorry. Every time I see her, you know, like, no handshake whatsoever. Some limp dick fucking handshake or whatever. Like, nah, man. Like, again, I don't know her. She could be the fucking flower upon mud. You know what I mean? She could be the best person ever. She could be the best person to David Adams. Good. That's what you want. But at the same time, man, there's a time and a place to go to battle for somebody when you know you're in the wrong. You know, you want to vouch for people? I do it all the time. I politic for people. I politic for all my good friends in wrestling. McIntosh, Payne, you know, Bobby, Bowens, my boys. Whenever I meet a new promoter, like, they're going to book me to be commentary. And then, like, in that transition, I'm like, hey, you might want to look at XYZ and ABC. Those guys are really fucking good, and they'll bring it for your company. You know, I do that for people, but I don't stick it down their throats. I was like, listen, I'm not coming unless you book XYZ because, shit, your show will suck without them. I'm not like a total douche about it. I just say, these are my boys, and I think you should take care of them. If not, that's it. No worries. The Payne's been rejected by every fucking indie in the world. He'll be the first one to tell you that. But I've, like, taken over his, not his bookings, but, like, just, I've made it a point that in my afternoon, you know, if I come across of talking to a promoter, like a tier one or a five borough or like a battle club, like, those are the people I'm kind of involved with. So I'm like, hey, listen, Payne's on the rise right now. Maybe you should scoop him up. You know, like, who knows? It could be good. It could be bad. And if you were at battle club this past weekend, it was really fucking good. Like, what he did was amazing. But, you know, to wrap up the whole David Adams thing, the point that I'm trying to make is that it wasn't, and Pat said it too, it wasn't going to be very fair. Because Rawway, we know. We all know you're smart Mark fans, okay? You're the ones that are going to yell botch, or you're the one that you guys are going to yell, like, he fucked up, when somebody slips off the top rope because God for fucking bid. Like, we know that that's the harsh reality of the crowd that's in Rawway. And we get our biggest crowds there. So I was kind of walking into a fucking sandstorm. Like, that's not fair to anybody. But then again, like, think of it this way. You can relate this to anything. Like, for instance, I was a big fan of Derek Jeter. Just say, I don't know, fuck it. Let's use Derek Jeter, for instance. Derek Jeter retires. He's moving on. And here comes Didi Gregorius to take a spot. Am I going to be Mr. like, go, Didi, go? And, like, the first fucking error he makes, I'm going to be like, fucking Jeter could have had that. Jeter could have did that. I've said that 17 times last year with Chase Headley fucking up at third base, and I said Alex Rodriguez would have snagged that, you know? So, of course, I guess the stigma of change is scary to some, but it's also very easy for people to kind of be brainwashed precursor, pre-walking into the building. You know, like I see this same group, and Pat said it, same group of 6, 7, 8 people that are liking all these statuses and liking all the hashtag David Adams section, where I figured I turned that into a joke back when I was on commentary. I took pictures with people with David Adams section signs because I thought it was ridiculous. And I was like, this is insane. A fucking announcer has his own section. And now it's escalated to this. Now I'm like, fuck you. Fuck your section. Fuck everybody who doesn't believe in me. And I'll just be better. Like I said, I'm going to be a lot less nice than Pat was. Pat was very nice and genuine and all that and basically laid it out, like from start to finish, of the whole thing that escalated. And none of this, as he said, it would have went to bed if somebody like David Adams would have just said, listen, me and WrestlePro have parted ways. That's it. He didn't even have to say that. I could have just walked into the ring and said, hey, I'm the new fucking guy. But I didn't even get a chance to do that because David Adams was boohoo before I even walked into Starland. My first fucking show of doing it. I'm sweating bullets. I'm nervous. It's a new role. I love commentary. It's come second nature to me now, and I'm only going to get better. But I've never done fucking ring announcing. Now I got to chase people down for weights and hometowns and how do you pronounce your names. And it's very involved during the day. Believe it or not, it's very involved. And I was very involved. I had a couple of referees helping me. I was like, this is a lot. So just recently, I in our big school page, I started dropping things. I'm like, guys, can you just list your shit here so I can kind of prep because I don't want to be running around. But again, I'm going to be better at this than anyone. That's the goal. Like, and if you don't have that goal to be the best at where you're at, then you just shouldn't be there. If you're going to settle for second best, then you're only doing yourself a disservice. But for David Adams to kind of set me up for failure immediately with all your boohoo and your fucking like, I'm free agent, I'm going to sweep the ring, that pissed me off. That pissed me off a lot. And then the icebreaker for me was, again, I know the entire story, and Pat didn't want to get into detail, and I'm not going to get into detail out of respect for my friend. I'm not going to do it. But the deal breaker for me was an Instagram post that he said, on 5/5/17, I found my smile. Are you fucking kidding? Like Pat said, you worked for 1,000 fucking promotions. I had one friend text me a screenshot. Why does it say former everywhere? So, all right, you do the fucking math. He might have went there, had a fucking bang-up job in what he thought was a bang-up job, and then never to come back. So, I guess Facebook now is a resume, and you could just say former fucking position everywhere. Because if that's the case, shit, I better get on that, because boy, do I got a lot of stuff. But, again, I found my smile on 5/5. What did you do on 5/5? May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, David Adams, to find your fucking smile. You announced in front of 60 fucking people. 60 people, and 10 of them were in the front row jerking you off, dude. Taking fucking selfies and all this shit. Nah. I found my smile. You're talking to the same guy, me, who Pat just said it, fired me. Do you know what I did after Pat got rid of me for my own stupidity? I did what you did. I popped off at the mouth at the wrong time. Do you know what I did? Nothing. I went away. Oh, or no, according to Chad Mintz or Minez or whatever the fuck his name is, I went and kissed ass to Rob Fury for work. No. What I did was, when I was released and told, you're not welcome back, I went to Rob Fury, promoter and owner of SWF, and I said, hey, if you got anything for me, I'd really like to work with you. And of course he came back, brother, and next thing you know, I'm fucking booked on SWF, a smaller independent show. And I've told Rob this time and time again because I like Rob. We've talked about it. I've talked about it with Raleigh. We like Rob. He's a good dude. Doesn't make the best decisions sometimes when it comes to business. One, aligning yourself with that fucking idiot. Did he buy you a new ring and setup? Congratulations. Everybody's got a generic fucking setup now. Wow. You did this. That's a decision that Rob wanted to make, and that's fine. But I didn't kiss any fucking ass when I got kicked out. I said, okay, I'm done. That's it. Okay. What am I supposed to do? I screwed up. Did I feel a loss? You know? Yeah, of course. I felt like shit. That was my dream spot. I was in it. I was just a fucking shell of myself. I was a crazy person. But, again, People grow and learn from mistakes. This was this mistake or series of mistakes that David Adams did. He could have very well tucked his tail and said, you know what, this will blow over, like everything else in wrestling does. Everything in wrestling blows over with time. If you have the God-given talent and dedication and passion for the business, it will come full circle and help you. But not after this, man. Not after you found your smile the next day or on Cinco de Mayo and probably put on a fucking lei or whatever from Hawaii. And David Adams here, you know, like, enough. So enjoy your new roles wherever the fuck you are. Enjoy your match graphics that you so desperately needed to come back. Because I swear to God, if I ever went up to Mark Carino, who does our graphics, and Johnny Clash, who does our graphics, and said, hey, listen, the only way this match and this whole event's going to draw is if you let the crowd know that I'm the fucking ring announcer. I am a fucking ring announcer. I announce, I'm happy, I go sit down. Commentary, boom, done. 1, 2, 3, game over, ding, ding, ding. I announce the winner. That's my job. Not over the top. I'm a character. I'm the fucking man. And do I want to call myself Dave Destruction when I'm fucking commentating? And maybe commentary because that's how some people might know me. But like, am I going to go to the ring and say, hey, everybody, my name's Dave Destruction. I went to fucking Starland Ballroom and I didn't say who I was. I didn't. I said, welcome, everybody. You know, that's it. You don't have to be a personality. But David Adams does. So let me know how that works out for you. Good riddance. Don't reach out to me and text me and say, how could you, bro? Like, how could I? How could you? How could you? I'm pissed off. Pat's just kind of, you know, disturbed and like embarrassed for you. I'm pissed. And I, you know, it was only a matter of time before all this shit came out. So I hope that kicks off your summer fucking fantastic. Back after this.
Maybach music. This shit is highly sophisticated. I just make it look easy, nigga. Follow me. I'm so sophisticated. To get a verse from me, you gotta be initiated. To get a purse from me, she gotta be sophisticated. Purchase a whip from me and never miss a single.
What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts, and I'm here on another edition of Kicked in the Head, right here on Destruction's 101 podcast, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. This week I want to talk about, I don't know, people that have pity parties from themselves, people that post cryptic messages that want to feel bad. Like, what is wrong with you people? I don't understand. Let's talk about the people that put up cryptic messages. I don't want to talk about it. Worst day ever. Oh, what's going on, guy? Oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. Why did you put up that fucking message? Because you want sympathy, you want fucking people to ask you what's wrong, and then you want to say, I don't want to talk about it. Private message me later, bro. It's just the worst thing ever. If it's the fucking worst thing ever, keep the fuck off social media, talk to your closest friends, talk to your family, talk to your girlfriend, do something useful, get your head out of the fucking gutter, out of your fucking ass, and do something about your life instead of feeling fucking bad for yourself. God damn it. People, look, I got fired from my job after 13 years. I mean, I might have told one of the kids I was going to cut him open, make his insides his outsides, and put his head in the freezer, but that's beyond the point. What did I do? The very next day, I had a new job. You got to wake up, you got to do something to take care of yourselves, and you can't feel bad about it. Now, there's another type of soft I want to talk about. Not soft like Enzo and Cass. I mean, honestly, who talks like that? Who pronounces their letters like that? Bunch of schnooks. Anyways, I'm actually on location right now in Farmingdale, New Jersey at Unroyal Inc. I'm about to get tatted by my paisana, Corey Zanino. Now, she's the absolute best in the country, the best in the world, the best in Staten Italy, the best in Real Italy, the best in Little Italy. She is the absolute best. I highly suggest you make an appointment with her. It's C-O-R-I, unroyal@gmail.com. She's getting booked up. You gotta make your appointment. Now, Corey, who's the biggest and baddest guys. They all come in here, and as soon as they get that little needle stuck to their arm, they cry like bitches. Well, not Gino Gatz. Gino Gatz is the toughest guy you have ever met in your tattoo parlor life. And let's get this baby started. All right, folks, you're only as good as your last envelope. So keep that hustle going, baby. Let's go, Corey. Start that thing up. Ah, god damn it! Jesus!
You little bitch. Gino Gatz sneaking in a sponsor of the show. See, now, Gino, unfortunately, I have to check with this downloaded file that you send me every Tuesday. Now I have to actually check to see if there's any sneaky fucking little promotion in there. Which is, hey, listen, I'm not getting paid to do this, so by all means, promote your business. Speaking of promote your business, I want to talk a little bit about what direction WrestlePro is going in, since this is a very heavy WrestlePro episode. First and foremost, something I came up with, I didn't come up with it, my friend Jess, who works in a school system, reached out to me and asked me, since her son now is one of the biggest WrestlePro fans, huge Ryback fan, huge Pat Buck fan, so her son's a big fan. Obviously, all the kids that are around her, you know, all his little buddies are all friends. So she asked me if we were able to donate anything to a Tricky Tray that's coming up on May the 20th, which just so happens to land on the day of our next show. So clearly I can't attend or anything like that because, you know, all these kids would love to pose with a picture with me. So, but what I did do is I contacted all my guys and I said, let's get something together for these kids. Let's donate. You know, we don't have to necessarily always make a buck. It's always about expansion and just trying to get your names out there and doing something good for the community. I mean, this is the school system in Colonia. Colonia is right next to Rahway. So it's kind of stupid if you didn't get involved in some kind of fundraiser and like that. But so we're going to put together a nice little prize package for her. She can take it, put it in a little, well, we have one of the girls actually working on a basket for it. So hope the little kids enjoy their hats and shirts and autographs. And I think there's a button in there for some reason from the Beach Bumps. So there's all sorts of shit. Nice little variety WrestlePro starter pack. So that's how you get your foot in the door, kid. But the business as a whole is growing. What we want to do is we want to expand it to different towns. We want people to have their fundraisers and their corporate events and anything that you, if you're interested in wrestling, you know, we're the premier company in New Jersey. Nobody else. There's too many shitty indies out there that aren't drawing crowds and just have a bunch of backyard guys going nuts and flipping off fucking top ropes and pretending they're just whatever. It's disgusting. But we all look the part. We all have been trained by Pat. We can bring in outside talent. You have to contact me or Ace or even Dipsy Donovan. I'm calling us the marketing dream team because last night we had a meeting with a Knights of Columbus down south, and it went phenomenally. So, and just when you thought Ace was just another devious manager, like here's his sales pitch, and like watching him go to town and build a relationship with these people on the spot, on the fly. Like I provided the comedic relief, and then Sean would jump in with some statistics, but like he has these guys like wrapped around their finger, and I'm like, whoa, I'm like blown away. And this would explain the unseen championship belt he has, Ace has in his closet. He has not shown anybody pictures of this thing, not that I know of, but it is a belt, it is a championship belt, which I thought was going to have the fucking Warrior, the Warrior logo on it. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Which, by the way, hold on, first the belt. The belt is for sales. He works for Speedway, the new gas station. Not new, but whatever. They're expanding into New Jersey. Plentiful. So Ace is a great salesman, but during the sales meeting, no lie, shit you not, his phone goes off and he doesn't put it on silent. And I'm like, ugh, in my head, I'm like, anybody whose phone goes off in a business meeting, I want to like punch you in the throat. But because it was the Ultimate Warriors theme song, me and Dipsy looked at each other like, you cannot make this shit up. And it was fantastic. But we were able to showcase our stuff. We pulled a couple matches on YouTube. You know, I throw myself a couple selfless plugs. I'm like, yeah, I'm that guy on commentary over there, in case you are interested or whatever. But yeah, man, it was just a very successful meeting, and it's a dream team. It's a great package that all three of us, you know, two of us have in-ring experience. Dipsy's been fucking wrestling for 15 years, 16 years. I only have five under my belt as far as training between in-ring and outside the ring. And Ace is marketing, sales, and he's a great manager who gets over with his group of guys, Espinicos. You know, so it's, if you guys want to set up an appointment, contact me, contact Ace. And we'll help you expand and raise some funds, because I'm telling you, if you have the venue, we got the talent, we got the production, we got the cleaning crew, we got the ring, we got just everything you can possibly ask for in a pro wrestling promotion. So hopefully maybe that tricky trade turns into Colonia, middle school, high school, whatever wants to put on a fucking wrestling show. And then that's when they could try to make a lot more money with their ticket sales. So it's just, it's all give and take. Everybody wins after it. It's really fantastic how we really put this together. So, yeah. So, before, obviously, what did I do over the weekend? Well, I met up with Payne on Saturday around 2 o'clock after my wonderful haircut. Can't put over the Made Man Barbershop in Fords, New Jersey. They're responsible for the do you saw on my head on Saturday with all the pictures that are surfacing. Me and Payne met over at Casa de Buck, his old house. Well, his brother's living there now, but it's in Rahway. And we got the truck. We drove it. Payne drove it because, God forbid, I get in a fucking accident, I'll lose my license. That's another story for another time. But anyway, Payne drives it. We go up there. We have a good time. Halfway through, we realized there was a couple spots that had opened up halfway through the drive. And I had hit up Carlos, the owner of Battle Club. Believe it or not, I'm not the fucking owner, which is crazy because I'm getting messages after messages and requests and friend requests from all these workers. And I'm like, I don't know any of you people. Like, do I really need another fucking wrestler on my page? You know, like, unless you're a promoter or somebody that might employ me, I don't think I'm going to accept your friend request just because what do I need you for? You're just another guy who's saying you're the best thing to happen to pro wrestling since fucking Shawn Michaels. But anyway, so we get up there and we realize that there's a spot that opened up, and Payne was, I politic for Payne. I said, listen, I understand the style of match is a little weird, but I think we can make it work. And sure as shit, not only did he make it work, I firmly believe it was the reaction and pop and excitement of the night, besides the promo video that they showed, which I'll get into in a minute, of Payne. it was the CPA Open Invitational. What that meant was each wrestler was going to represent a genre of music. CPA represented Taylor Swift, which, yes, she does deserve her own fucking genre of music because she's amazing. Another guy, I can't remember, CeeLo. No, not CeeLo. I'm sorry, I don't have the names in front of me, but another guy represented hip-hop, and then Jay George represented, like, pop, like your Prince and whatever else he came out and sang and did a little dance and whatever, and it was awesome. So what we thought was going to be a triple threat match, everybody was set. The bell rang. Here we go. And then you hear the first, like, chimes of a Backstreet Boys song, and here comes Payne out of the back singing a cappella, basically, with just the chords in the background of Backstreet Boys. And we hit a grand slam that landed in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Like, it was so good. And, like, on commentary, I'm so excited about it. We start singing along. Like, it was just monumental. And I said to Payne after that, I said, listen, you look the part, obviously. You're in the best shape of your life now at 35. Like, you know, your wrestling ability is fantastic. I was like, but it's shit like this that will go viral and really make people say, like, oh, who's that? You know, what wrestler's that? And he just fucking murdered the role. It was great. It was simply one of the best things I've seen. But top to bottom, again, great, great show for Battle Club Pro. I'm very happy about it. Carlos seemed very happy about it. It went off a little later than we thought because Wrestler's Laboratory, which, by the way, I can't stress this enough. There's bad indies, all right? And you're going to employ a bunch of backyarders and shit like that. But then there's Wrestler's Laboratory, which I think is the most creative, amazing thing to come into the independent world of professional wrestling. What they are is what they say they are in their name. They're a lab. They take decent wrestlers, which they scout out themselves. They don't just say, hey, sell 5 tickets, you can get on the show. Like, no, they do their homework. And they put these guys on that are just looking for a little bit of a break, you know, a little bit of exposure. And they put together a 4-match card that goes on from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock at all Battle Club shows. It's amazing. And The reason why I say that is because these guys that are performing are busting their ass probably harder than anybody because they want the exposure. So kudos to Chris Ruiz and Sweeney, and you guys are just fucking killing it right now. And if you don't follow them already, follow them on all social medias and follow, buy yourself a shirt. I got myself a shirt. They gave me a shirt, which is awesome. I'll, you know me, I'm a walking billboard. I'll just fucking wear it wherever. But yeah, top to bottom for Battle Club, like just amazing action. You know, I had a little involvement with Mike Rolando. You know, Darius Carter was still there. His entrance still to this day to me is like one of those awe-inspiring moments. And like the girls, oh my God, I can't say enough about the girls. Like Jordan Grace is, first of all, she's beautiful. And like she's strong and like just a fucking, she's an ox to move around that ring. But she moves like a fucking cruiserweight. You know, then you had Mia Yim. And then you had Catred, who was in her hometown of the Bronx. So it was just a very good family feel, and I can't like express enough how much I love that venue. So much that we have to switch venues. Well, we're not switching venues because we want to. We're switching venues because we want to try something else. Battle Club Pro is going to debut in Brooklyn on August 11th. The only problem with that is it now lands on a day of WrestlePro for the first time. It's never happened. They didn't know. They were not in the know of what was happening. And I don't think we've even announced anything past June, so I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag. But supposedly there's a show in August on that same day that's running pretty much head-to-head with people in the Bronx. Are we anywhere near each other where there would be a divide in fans? No, not at all. Not at all. So it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal because I'm not, you know, my preference in my home and, you know, where I'm employed first is WrestlePro over Battle Club. So still working out all the kinks on that one. You know, it is what it is. Carlos isn't mad. We just don't want you to rent the fucking ring from Chad. That's all. That's it, man. Rent it from anybody else. Anybody else. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just going over my notes. Oh, now that, like, obviously anybody who knows me knows my shoot job. I hate saying that. It's so corny. My real job, my 9 to 5 or my 7:30 to 2:30, whatever. I'm a paraprofessional in the school, but they're going through PARC testing, which is like the CATs, if you remember those, if you're my age. So basically elementary school testing, which by the way is all on the computer. So these kids are so freaking spoiled. Like everything's on the computer with headsets and fucking, dude, remember Scantrons? Where you had to put all I did was, and this is why I got a fucking 880 on my SATs, is like I just kind of made a design on mine. I didn't give a shit. Like I was like, I'm not going to college, blah, 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 blah. Like that was me being a fucking moron of a high school student. So my SATs were bombed. I believe I took it twice and I still didn't reach 1600 combination. I'm not a test taker. I'm not. It's never been my thing. Never been my strong suit. But anyway, so in this time, it's very silent. I can't necessarily be on my phone. So I got to kind of preface anybody I talk to in the morning. I'm like, oh, listen, I got a test. I won't talk to you. Sorry. But I did bring two books and I read Life, Wrestling for My Life with Shawn Michaels, and I'm 3/4 of the way redone with the Brock Lesnar book because it's that damn good and I love it. I recommend those books for motivation. I recommend those books for inspiration, and I recommend those books to just overall teach you the values of your life outside of a business or entertainment industry. One thing that's gotten away from me, and that's only because I'm pushing very hard, is being a good person. Not so much being, that doesn't make any sense because I'm a good dude. You know, I cross my T's, dot my I's, all that shit and mind my P's and Q's. But at the same time, I just want to make sure that I don't lose sight of what's going on in my life outside of all this shit. And this gives you a really good in-depth look on how to manage all that. So it's a very, like, look, there's supposed to be a wrestling book, but you get, like, for me, I catch so much stuff more than that. But yeah, so definitely two books I recommend reading. I touch on a bunch of sports, but this is obviously a little longer than what I usually do. I will say the Yankees are on fire. I will say they're 21-9 as I record this. You heard that correctly. 21 wins, 9 losses, which is the best in the league, son. Shout out to Sobey. The Mets are the worst fucking franchise known to man. I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't know how you guys deal with divas like self-diagnosing doctors like Syndergaard, and then you got Matt Harvey, like, I got a headache, so I'm just not going to show up to a game, which is bizarre, which is, you know, conveniently the day after a Ranger game, So did somebody get a little toasty and couldn't make it to fucking batting practice and pitching practice? That could have been it. But I won't even go there. But I really appreciate you guys listening in. This is probably the longest episode that we've done. It means a lot to me that Pat went to bat for me and sent me that file to play on this podcast, where he could have done it on Conversation with the Big Guy, but he said, you know what, you deserve this, this is yours. Plus, a lot of you locals like to listen to me and all the happenings there are around my life. Like, I guess the core, those seven or eight people that support David Adams are going to be listening to this, like, taking notes and recording and chopping it up and like, oh my God, oh, we're going to tell David Adams. And, oh man, wait until this guy hears this one. And oh man, oh, he's such a bully. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I hope this gets to everybody. I really do. I hope they play this at the fucking loudspeaker the next SWF event. So, I mean, shit, I'll play you some of David Adams' greatest hits closing this show. I will. Remember. You exposed me first, set me up for failure. So in turn, we are no longer friends. I don't really give a shit about your future. I'm not saying that to be nasty. I'm just saying you did it first. You know, you shot at me first. I'll shoot you back and I'll probably kill you. So with that being said, follow me on all my social medias. It is really late. Wow, damn. I've been going for like 2 hours trying to get this done. I don't know about the length of this thing. I probably deleted and redid it 16 times. I'm going to try to go watch the Rangers tonight, down 3-2 in the series. Desperation mode. If you're listening to this now, it's Wednesday. The Rangers season's either over and I'm just a mess, or there's game 7 on Thursday night. So tune into that. Follow me on all the social media, at Dave Sturch on Twitter, at Dave Destruction on Instagram, Facebook.com/Dave Destruction, Destruction 101. And yeah, that's it. A little Snapchat action if you want. I typically get back to you rather quickly on all my social medias. If you need anything, just reach out. Just call. Just like you, David Adams. You could have just called me. But instead, you boo-hoo to the crowd. And now I hope the entire David Adams section shows up on WrestlePro, boos the shit out of me, and we have a fucking fantastic sold-out show on May the 20th in Rahway, New Jersey. Take care, everybody.
Personified, and I will try.